Matthew 4:17. All right. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, read the rest of it with me. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From this time forward, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, most of us have learned that repentance is when you are going in a direction of life and you repent, you turn, and you go to the other direction. How many have ever heard that for repentance? Let me see your hand. Okay, lots of us, right? So, it's a turning. It's a new direction in our lives. However, when you think about repentance, the going in the other direction is not necessarily repentance. So, as I illustrate, doing this and then going this way is not repentance. Repentance was in the turn. This wasn't necessarily repentance. It was what caused you to turn from this direction to that direction that was repentance. And that was your thinking. So somehow your thinking changed, which caused you to turn and go in a different direction. So repentance is literally changing your thinking. Okay? So that tells me that you and I can repent many times. Do you follow what I'm saying? So it's not like, okay, I repented of my sins and asked Jesus into my life and now I'm going to heaven. Okay, that's cool. And you probably did, but that's only one level of repentance. So Jesus, from that time, began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Your thinking about God and what He has said caused the turn. Someone said this, and you might want to write this statement down. This is very important to know and to kind of assimilate into your life. Some repent just enough to get into the kingdom, but not enough to see the kingdom. Right? So you repented enough to get in, but you haven't changed your thinking enough to see it. So if we've repented enough just to get in, and we say, well, God doesn't heal today, God doesn't provide for us today, there are no more gifts of the Spirit operating, all of these things, yeah, you've repented enough to get in, but you haven't repented enough to see the kingdom. All right? So there are many levels of seeing in the kingdom of God. Let me illustrate this. The angels around the throne of God continually cry out what? Now, why do they continue to cry out holy? Because they cry out holy every time they get another revelation of God. So as they encircle His throne, they're like, holy. And they go around again and they go, holier. And then they go around again and they go, holy moly. And they're just more holy because they get another revelation. They see more of God. In spite of what many think, you and I have not seen all of God. And denominations package Him. Churches box Him, wrap Him, ship Him, and say, here's God. And God said, yeah, that's part of me, but that's not all of me. One of the words we used a lot in Brazil was mice. Now, you think of little creatures. but it means more. And there is more to the kingdom than you and I have ever experienced. You believe that? Okay. Matthew 11:22 is a great scripture. Jesus was preaching to his disciples and he said, just have faith in God. However, is it Matthew 11:22? Can I say to you, it would be more tolerable for a tyrant side? Maybe Mark 11:22. Try Mark 11:22. I might have messed that up. But he said, have faith in God. And the actual translation means, have the faith of God. So it's a poor translation to say, have faith in God. There it is. It's the King James Version, or the New King James Version, says, have faith in God. It actually can be translated, have faith of God. Have the faith of God. So Jesus is saying, there's a level of faith that doesn't come from your religious experience or even your thinking, but it comes from God Himself. How many know that the faith originates with God? Okay, so have the faith of God. So 1 Corinthians 12:9 tells us that God gives faith. Isn't that awesome? So if Jesus said, have the faith of God, and then God not give that faith, that would be a ripoff. But he says, have the faith of God, and then he said, okay, guess what? I'm going to give it to you. To another, faith by the same Spirit. This is a gift. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. So now we see in 1 Corinthians 12:9 that God says, okay, I'm going to give you a gift of faith. How many would like a gift of faith this morning? Okay. I want a gift of faith. So I say, Lord, I want more faith. I don't think that He runs out of faith. I don't think He only wants to give you one level of faith. I think that faith is limitless in God. Look at Romans 12:3. So we know that faith comes as a gift from God, number one. Number two, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So now the gift of faith comes through the Holy Spirit. Now God Himself deals to each one a measure of faith. So now I have a gift that comes from God, from the Holy Spirit, is faith. Now I have God dealing a measure of faith to me. And then thirdly, in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I know that when I read my Bible and I hear the Word, I get more faith. So faith is the principal quality to see the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me try to get this. Lord, you're going to have to help me with this. In our tradition, when we pray for people, like at the altar, they come up, you say, what's your problem? Well, why don't you pray, I dislocated my shoulder. Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray out of this shoulder to be healed now in Jesus' name. We do all our best to get that thing to be healed. However, you're not the healer. Your method isn't the healing agent. Nor are the style of your prayer or the volume of your voice. Don't get mad. I'm just saying. So, who is the healing agent? Well, the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, that I might send to you the Holy Spirit. He said, you're going to do greater things than I did. Now, not because we're all that in a bag of chips. We're going to do greater things because the Holy Spirit is with us. Faith is not given so that we can believe that God can heal the dislocated shoulder. Faith is so that we can walk with the Holy Spirit. Like right now, He's here. I mean, I'm kind of like feeling Him. I have this Brazilian feel. All right? So my intimacy with the Holy Spirit will increase the manifestation of kingdom. Because it's the Holy Spirit who discloses the things of Jesus. He reveals the depths of God. Not me. So my connection then with kingdom is the Spirit of God. And that's where we have to be careful, Pentecostal classicals. Where you said, I received the Spirit because I spoke in tongues. And that was back in 1975. Well, you probably need another filling. Because your faith in an event is not enough for miracles. It's not enough to demonstrate the kingdom. What demonstrates the kingdom is the Holy Spirit manifesting and partnering with humans. Isn't that cool? How many have ever seen an interview on the news where an alleged crime person, what do you call that? Alleged criminal, yeah, is being interviewed by a news guy, a girl, and an attorney is sitting next to them. And so the question is posed. And they go to answer it. And what happens? The attorney says, let me answer that. Why? Because the attorney knows legally, you don't know how to answer that. Right. So let me answer that for you. Or you get ready to answer it and you hesitate for a minute. You look over at your attorney and he does this. He empowers you to release the information requested of you because his counsel is trusted. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. Holy Spirit is your counselor. He's your paraclete. He stands alongside of you. When I get up in the morning, I dare not go throughout the day without my attorney present. Why not? Because there is an accuser of the brethren. Making false accusations against me. And if I'm not careful, I'm liable to respond, stupid. So instead, I leave the house. Accusation comes and my paraclete, my attorney said, don't answer that. I'll take care of that. So faith is to increase your connection with the Holy Spirit. And all it really takes is a recognition and reception and a want and an invitation for Him to come. If you invite Him, He'll come. He just like waits. Like waiting. Who wants me? And meanwhile, we've become, I'm going to preach first Sunday of the new year, a message called The Theology of His Presence. And picture with me the tabernacle in the Old Testament. How many of you know about the tabernacle of the Old Testament? Outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies, right? Moses builds it. It's out there in the wilderness. The coverings. Badger skins, poles, brass, gold, circles, all the outer court, wash basin, altar, you know, the whole deal, right? Furniture, incense, showbread. I mean, the whole deal. But during the day, there was a cloud over the tabernacle. And then at night, there was a pillar of fire over the tabernacle. Which was symbolic of the presence of God. So all the nations around knew that God was with Israel. Why did they know God was with Israel? Now I'm giving away my sermon, but let me just, I have to do this. They knew that God was with Israel because of the presence. Take away the presence, and all you have is religion. I'm sorry. Some of us, that's all we have is religion. Because you're not walking with the Holy Spirit and you know it. Smile back. We'll get to that one in January. Okay, one more scripture. Isaiah 53. This is really hard to do. Because I've got so much I want to share with you. Because while we were ministering, God was downloading in my heart. Incredible stuff. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 5. I want you to read this with me. Would you mind just kind of engaging me here? All right, let's try it. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Now, go back to verse 4, if you would, please. Thank you. I think that's Jackie back there. You're amazing. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our... Now, when you think of the word sorrow, you almost think of the old Hee-Haw show, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Sorrow. You know, sorrow. Just sorrow. That's a very poor translation. It's not accurate. It's not even close to accurate. So you say, well, why is it in the Bible? I don't know. I didn't translate it. This is King James, the New King James. What should the word sorrow be? Anybody have any idea? Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sicknesses and pain. That changes that whole scripture. In the Hebrew, you look it up, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sicknesses and our pains. Now, it's very powerful for us to know because we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. This is the atonement. Everybody say atonement. What many will say today or contend is the atonement is for salvation, bringing into unity with God, but does not include healing for our body. Now, we were in our first church service was in a Presbyterian church. Now, why would they invite a group of 60 people from around the world who are like crazy hot for God and a healing evangelist to come into a Presbyterian church? I think it's just Jesus. The pastor is a cessationist. In other words, he didn't believe in the gifts. He doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And yet He invited us to come in. And we wrecked His church. I mean, literally, it was wrecked. Holy Spirit wrecked His church. People were piled up on the floor. I mean, piles. Just piled. Healings. Deliverance. And then He invited us back the next morning. And then the next morning. And then the next morning. And the last day He stands up with our leader and puts His arm around Him and says, please come back. This was God. This was an amazing experience. And I really believe that God is going to cross all barriers, denominations. It doesn't matter if you're a Baptist. The Holy Spirit's coming after you. You could be a Roman Catholic. Guess what? Holy Spirit's coming for you. Right in the middle of that genuflex, you know, that thing. Holy Spirit's about to, bam, blast you, right? All right, I said one verse, and let me give one more verse. Revelation 19:10, and I'm have to hurry here, but... And I fell at His feet to worship, and He said to me, see that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Everybody say testimony. The strength of any court case is the testimony. A defense will always try to discredit the testimony. Correct? So if I can discredit your testimony, then I can convince the jury that it's not true. So here we are talking about the testimony of Jesus. Then it says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is what? Spirit of prophecy. All right. Let me give you this, if you can put the next slide up. A testimony is this. Whether it's in law, or whether it's in religion, a testimony is a solemn attestation as to the truth of a matter. So hold that up there. So the testimony of Jesus, the solemn attestation as to the truth of the matter of Jesus, is a spirit of prophecy. Okay, hold that up there. You know what a testimony is. The spirit of prophecy. What's prophecy? Prophecy is prediction or forecast. Or you watch your news and they say it's going to be 60 degrees tomorrow and partly sunny. That's prophecy. It's forecast. Well, our forecast for tomorrow is, okay, the spirit of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the forecast. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prediction. The attestation of the truth of Jesus, who died for your sins and who was beaten and afflicted, and his stripes upon his back, who heals you, is the truth of the matter, and it is a prediction, a forecast that he'll do it again. Whew, so now I'm looking at, I think tomorrow, besides being 60 degrees sunny, partly cloudy, there's going to be a few healings, blind eyes opened, deaf ears opened, and because if he did it once, he'll do it again, because the testimony is truth, and it will be in a spirit of prophecy. It'll be a prediction that he'll continue to do it. Now that's important for us to know. So let me share with you, and this is going to be a few minutes, so just hang in there. A friend of mine that I met while in Brazil has an incredible story. I told her to greet all of you first. I said, you're going to love the people in my church, and they're going to love you. So go ahead and put Joanne up there and then her testimony.
Hey, Church on the North Coast, I'm Joe Moody, and I'm here in Londrina, Brazil, with your amazing pastors, Gina and Lewis. You're about to hear a story about the amazing God we serve and His miracle power. Get ready.
So in 1999, I gave birth to my only son, and I suffered a really traumatic labor that went for 3 days, and there was a big fiasco that happened. And I went from being an incredible athlete to being an invalid. I ended up with 7 surgeries by 2005 and wrong diagnosis after wrong diagnosis. Could not sit for more than a minute without, I was on so many pain medications. I was on 7 different narcotics in a morphine clinical trial. And then finally somebody sent me to somebody who knew what they were doing in San Francisco. And they diagnosed me with pudendal nerve entrapment, which was very, very rare. Found that my nerves were crushed in 7 places on my left side, 5 on my right side. I was suicidal. I was always very positive. I was suicidal at that point. They told me that statistically, the suicide rate for somebody with that was over 68%. And I kept hearing, you know, you should just kill yourself, you should kill yourself. And I couldn't even pick up my son. That people had to take care of me and take care of him, and it was a mess. And so finally, they sent me to France, where I had the best care. They said I would have the best chance, only 30% of getting any better. This was going to be my life. I loved the Lord. I didn't understand what happened to me. I went to France. I had to go ambulatory, laying down in France. They did something. They botched the end of the surgery. They used some glue to sew me up instead of stitching me because they thought it would give me a better chance. And I bled to death on the operating table. I died And I said, good riddance to that. I don't even want to be. I was up on the ceiling. I did not go to heaven. I was up on the ceiling, like in the operating room, looking down, and nobody spoke English, and they're all freaking out, and I could see they're crying, and they're like, oh, you know, because I died, and then, like, I'm American. They're going to get in trouble. And so they're all, yeah. So anyway, I'm watching, and I'm thinking, God, I'm going home. This is so awesome, because that body down there, I can't stand that thing. It's so painful. And so I'm just up there, and I'm watching this craziness down there. And the Lord just came on me, and he came down, and he started talking. I was like, oh, no. It just felt like I needed to just fall on the ground, but I was up here, and I couldn't fall down because I had no body. I was just up there, you know? And it was crazy. And the Lord told me, he said, you can come with me now, or you can stay, for the prayers of the saints have given you a choice. And I did not even know 400 people were praying for me at home. And in that moment, I was like, what do you mean I have a choice? You always think that you're going to be so incredibly saying something your whole life in front of God. And I just said, what? I was so, so unintelligent. What? And he said it again, same thing. So the bottom line is, he showed me my son. My son was 5. And he's so cute. And it wasn't a picture, and it wasn't a video. My son was right there, and I knew. He said, you can go with me now, or there's much work for you to do. I knew if I left, my son would not know God, because people would be angry. And so I made a choice. I didn't say anything, and the Lord sent me back, told me a bunch of other stuff, sent me back. And it was horrible for the next. I had 2 more surgeries in 2 days to save my life. It took me over a month to get home. I was completely bedridden. It took 3 years for nerve regeneration. I ended up with 13 surgeries in 14 years. I finally had enough nerve regeneration to go back to work, but I had to lay down most of the time. I carried a cushion everywhere. People said, that's the lady that lays down. I was on so many pain meds. I don't know why people wanted to work with me, because I was all marked up, but I was okay. I mean, I was sane, but you know, that's all you can do is go to work and then go home. So the end of it is, the Lord told me in February in 2013, they were scheduling me for my 14th surgery. And I was undone. I was like, God, you know, I'm just pray for people. That's what I do. And it caused me to be an intercessor. He told me to go to VOA. I started reading your books because I was
Voice of the Apostles.
Right, Voice of the Apostles. I started praying for people so much, and I never saw any healings. I was so discouraged. And I said, God, there's got to be more. And I found you. And I started reading your books, started reading Bill's books, and I was like, whoa, I am doing the wrong stuff. And the Lord said, go to Voice of the Apostles. And I said, I can't fly, God. I can't sit. I can't sit for more than 2 minutes. I can't fly. He said, go, you'll be blessed. And I was like, oh gosh, I called my best friend. I got to go to Florida. She goes, you can't fly. I go, I know, but God told me. So somehow I took a bunch of narcotics and we got on the plane and I went and it was hell, but I made it. We get to the Voice of the Apostles the last day. I'm totally, I was fed. It was amazing. I was knocked out by God's power on the floor. I spent more time on the floor at Voice of the Apostles than anywhere in my life. At the last day, the last 2 hours of the conference, some man came down.
Richard Holcomb, who's the guy who gave me the prophetic word, test me now, my Texas friend.
Unbelievable. He was going to the bathroom. Richard was going to the bathroom. And the Holy Spirit said, see that lady? Go over there. And I was on my knees, which is ironically the best place for me for 14 years. It was the only comfortable place for me, on my knees. So I was on my knees and I was worshiping. I was sitting on a cushion, you know, leaning back like that. And Richard comes over and asks me what my problem is. And I give him the 1 minute and I have no faith to be healed, because now I've been prayed for by everybody. And I'm like, God, if you wanted to heal me, you would have healed me. I was like listening to all this stuff in my head, like that God needs to use me like this because I'm stubborn, I'm this, I'm that, whatever. And Richard goes, no. And he touches me and the power of God falls on me and I fly backwards and I'm on the floor again. I'm like, man, I'm getting used to this. This is pretty good. But then I get up, and I'm the same.
He went to the bathroom.
He went to the bathroom. He leaves me. And my friends are all there like, are you healed? Are you? And I'm like, nah, but it's okay. I'm good. I'm really good. I'm good.
But you weren't healed.
I wasn't healed. And then I'm worshiping. You're doing testimonies. I'm just like, it's all good. Richard comes out of the bathroom.
What's he doing?
And he goes, hey, how are you? I go, Richard. I'm reading his name. It's okay. I'm okay. He goes, no. And he's got this southern thing going on. He goes, God healed me. He healed my wife. He healed my son. Now he's going to heal you. And I was like, okay. I never heard anybody talk with that kind of authority. I was like, okay, I will do. And he, I'm not in my chair. I'm supposed to be occupying. I'm on the floor on my knees. And he sits in my chair. He goes, all right then. And he grabs my face. And he just starts reading my laundry. Things wrong with my body. My husband didn't even know because I quit talking about my ills and all my stuff. And then he starts telling me all the vows I've taken, agreeing with the enemy and agreeing with the spirit of suicide and agreeing with this and agreeing with that. And I'm like, spirit of God's all over me. I'm like, oh, my best friend's like, who is this guy? Who is this? Is this an angel? I don't know. You know, she's freaking out. And I'm like, she's in my ear and I'm like trying to hear her. And I'm like, oh. So he just keeps going down the list of every single thing that's wrong with me, and he has me renounce full-on deliverance. Like, who knew? I didn't even know about deliverance back then. And he goes, all right then, now get up and do something you couldn't do. And I was like, I would do it right now. So I'm on my knees, and I could not move this leg because of all this complication stuff. I drug this leg forward, and I was all like this, but they helped me. I had no pain. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be one of those crazy people. I'm going to run up and down the aisle right now. I'm totally going to do it. It was awesome. And I did.
You ran up and down the aisle.
It was so good. It was so good.
So we have a miracle healing.
Total miracle. Total miracle. And Richard. Oh my God. Richard made me go up to you. Jesus. All Jesus. So good. So good. So Richard goes, now get up there. You got to give God the glory. Now, you guys, I have like full-on flipper feet. I can't walk hardly at all. And they're holding me up, and they get me up. Well, with the metal things keep you from going on the stage. Well, they see Richard, and it's like Moses in the Red Sea. They part those things, and they're walking through, and I'm like, and I don't know who he is at all. And my friend goes, man, who is this guy? And I go, I don't know, but I'm going up to talk about Jesus. So we get up there, and you are hilarious up there because I gave the whole testimony. But here's the thing. I believed for 14 years that if God wanted me healed, he would have healed me, number one. Number two, I believed the enemy was not as powerful as he was because he lied to me, and I believed that healing was not for today, or if somebody got healed, it was for them and not for me. I believed all these lies. And every time somebody would say, well, God wants to heal, I'd go, really? What about the fruit in my life from all my pain? I would say that to everybody. Because
you were in redemptive suffering.
Totally. That was my paradigm. And when I was healed, it was transformative. Since then, I came home. I'm in ministry at a church in Sacramento. And when I came home, I said, you're not going to believe what happened to me. I work with the senior pastor who's right there. He's such a fabulous man. There he is. And I went in his office and shut the door. I go, dude, I got to tell you something. He goes, how was the conference? I go, well, I have to tell you what happened to me. I tell him, and he's sitting there like this. And I go, man, the power of God is unbelievable, you know? And I'm telling him, but I twitched the whole way home, and for 4 days I was twitching, and, you know, I mean, it's been crazy. So I tell him everything, and he looks at me, and this is the most powerful thing he said. He goes, why'd you have to go to Florida to get healed? This is not right. And I went, I don't know. And since then, the power of God, I prayed for him, and I did all the impartation that you all did for me. And since then, God has been moving through our church and healing people like that and that and that and that.
All right. And I met that woman. Well, that was cool because I met her. And 14 years, you heard all this testimony. Mark 10:46 says they came to Jericho. And I'm about ready to close here, so hang tight. As he went out of Jericho, his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Jesus stood still and he said, go tell him I want to see him. So the disciple goes to blind Bartimaeus and says, I'll use her language. Hey, dude, Jesus wants to see you. He has something for you. Okay, you got that picture? Then they call the blind man, saying, "Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you." Next verse. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Now the garment he had on, you all know that, right, was a sign or symbol of his blindness and his legitimacy to be a beggar. So when he heard that Jesus called him, he said, "I won't be needing this." So he throws it off and comes to Jesus illegitimately as a blind man. His legitimacy was his garment. Threw it off, came to Jesus, and Jesus ends up healing him. Here's what Jesus said in verse 51. "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. The word that the disciple came to blind Bartimaeus with was what we call a word of knowledge. I don't know that this has ever happened to me. I've had swelling in my ankles when I travel, but never from like balloons. My legs were like balloons and they were tingling. And they were painful. And we were giving words of knowledge about what we felt impressed by the Holy Spirit that God wanted to do. Like, you know, somebody's left shoulder, or there's somebody here with heart palpitations God wants to heal. Or there's somebody here that hates their father and the Lord wants to heal your heart. And I'm feeling this. And I thought, well, sometimes you feel pains, because I've had that experience where I felt like a pain. And so I thought, well, God, maybe you gave me that feeling because it's a word of knowledge. You want somebody to be healed of that. And by the way, God, if I speak that, could you take away the pain for me? Well, anyway, I said that. I said, there's someone here who's got extreme swelling in their legs with lots of pain. And then they were instructed, if someone gave the word of knowledge, for them to come to the person who gave the word of knowledge for prayer. So here comes a woman carried by her family for prayer. And the translator says, she came because you said those with swelling in the legs and pain should come for you to prayer, and she can't walk. And I went, okay, let's pray. So we asked Holy Spirit to come and prayed for her, simple prayer. And then we're instructed to ask, "Do you feel anything different? Do you feel anything in your body?" And she said, "Yes. I have no more pain." And she tells the translator tells me, and I said, "Really? That's awesome." I'm like, I'm shocked. I'm surprised. I'm like, wow, she has no more pain. That's great. But I remember that she was carried because she couldn't walk. So I said, the next thing we were instructed to do is to say, do something now that you couldn't do before. Try to do something that you couldn't do without pain. And so she tells the translator, and she says, "Well, I couldn't walk." And I said, "Well, can you walk now? Can you walk?" So she gets up out of the chair, and she just starts walking. And I started walking with her, and I'm like, wow. I mean, you couldn't walk before? No, she couldn't walk. Everybody in the church knows. So all the church is clapping because it's a smaller church. Everybody knew that this is the woman that can't walk, who's now walking. But in the meantime, I don't remember, Tina, whether or not you prayed for this young girl or not. But there's a young girl on the other side with scoliosis. Anybody know what that is? Curvature of the spine. Later, picked up her T-shirt and showed us a 12-inch scar from surgery that they tried to correct it. And they prayed for her, and she was immediately healed. She couldn't bend over. She couldn't move freely without pain. And her back was like, you could see the when she picked up, like, her shirt, you could see it, and it was absolutely straight. So afterwards, I went to her and I said, "Tell me what happened," and here she is.
Oi, sou a Luísa. Eu tive uma e fiz uma cirurgia.
Hello, your name is Eloisa. You had a problem in the colon,
spinal cord.
Ele fez a cirurgia. E daí, por causa da cirurgia, foi colocado ferro na minha coluna e eu perdi alguns movimentos, limitações, como entortar, como abaixar, igual eu fiz.
And because this, she lost so many movements, like down, like dance, like move her legs or arms.
Okay. E hoje, né, o pessoal do Randy Clark, a equipe do Randy Clark veio aqui e eu tinha fé que eu podia ser curada, sabe? Que eu podia ter esse movimento de jogo. Porque eu adoro dançar, eu adoro um monte de coisa e eu não estava podendo fazer isso.
Okay. And today, like your minister come here, I believe that I could be healer of this disease. And because she loves so much of dance for God.
Oh, wow. She likes to worship.
Graças a Deus, hoje eu pude fazer isso, sabe? Estou podendo agora baixar, normal.
And today, he could be this, could down, could dance, normal.
Maybe you could show me a move that you could bend. Which she couldn't do before. That was about 2:30 in the morning after the services. And I saw her and I said, can I get a testimony from you? And God healed her based on a word of knowledge that was released. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge of a woman who came for prayer just quickly. And she came up to me humped like this and crying. And I introduced myself. I asked her what her situation was. And she said, I need prayer because I'm in a lot of pain. My neck, my back, my head. A lot of pain, can't move it. And as I'm interviewing her, the Holy Spirit standing next to me says, ask her if she's carrying extra burden or stress in her life. And I said, before we pray, are you carrying a burden in your life? And she said, yes, I just said goodbye to my son Friday. He went to prison. And I said, so this is very sad for you, isn't it? Yes, yes. I said, okay, the first thing we're going to do, the Lord showed me, the Holy Spirit gave me a word. He said, what I want you to do is take her hands and have her put her son in her hands and pray that you trust God and you put her son in the hands of Jesus. So we did that. And so we prayed for her then to be healed, and she said, pain is gone. And I said, okay, well, you need more joy. You need joy because you're crying and you're sorrowful. So I pray God give her joy. Now, this woman was probably my age or more. And anyway, she just wasn't the person you would think would start dancing. But when I prayed, I said, I forget the words now in Portuguese, but joy come, fill her with laughter and happiness. She looked up at me and she starts laughing. And I'm laughing. And then she starts dancing. So I start dancing with her. And I take her by the hand and we're up in the front and we're going like this. We're just dancing in the front of the church and she's all excited. And so then I said, okay, now we're going to pray that you be filled with power. So I prayed for her, and as I put my hand in one of the things that the team was instructed, do not push people. Just touch them. Like a fingertip touch. So I just fingertip touched her and bam, down on the floor. And she's laying there and I did the video over top of her. I said, hi, this woman just, you know, blah, 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 blah on Facebook if you saw it. That was her. When she woke up like this. She was down there like this. She opened her eyes, she went, and little did I know, Tina was praying with her husband on the other side, the same very ministry of deliverance and prayer, and I was praying with her. He came over to pick her up, and they went home happily ever after. I mean, it was a powerful thing that the Holy Spirit did. So I'm going to do this real quickly. I don't have time to give a lot of words of knowledge. So I'm going to ask anyone in this room, based on what you heard and saw today, that your faith is increased, your faith is encouraged, that you, in a minute, would stand for prayer. Now, here's a statement that was revelatory to me. You don't have to feel anything. Say, well, I don't feel anything. That's okay. He felt everything. Jesus felt all 39 stripes. He felt the piercing in his side. He felt the crown of thorns on his head. You don't have to feel anything. So take the pressure off. You don't have to jerk. You don't have to feel anointing. You don't have to start crying. You don't have to do anything. You just have to have faith in God, or the faith of God. Right? Okay. So anybody here today, you say, Pastor, I have pain in my body, and I have faith to believe God that He will touch me at this very moment. I just want you to stand. I'm going to pray a simple prayer over you. Okay. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. You say, well, He's already here, right? Well, I'm going to ask Him again. Ven Espíritu Santo. Like you did in Brazil. Come Holy Spirit. Right here in Lorraine. Come Holy Spirit and heal. Sickness, disease, pain. Pain in the neck, shoulders. Digestive problems. Right knee. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and just heal. Across this room, we welcome you now to heal. More of your power, God. More of your power. More fire in their spirit. You said you will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. So more fire, Lord. More power. More glory. Come, Holy Spirit, and heal. In Jesus' name. Now, those of you that are standing, you can put your hands down. If you can say, okay, I feel at least 80% improvement over what I felt prior to me standing. And you might have to try, move something, or feel, or, you know, whatever. I want you to just kind of wave your hand at me like that. If you think, you feel like you have 80% improvement, let me see your hand. All right? Okay, there's one there. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Okay, anybody else? 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Okay, put your hands down. We're going to pray one more time. And just ask the Holy Spirit to do the work. I'm not doing it. Okay, He did it. You don't have to feel anything. He felt everything. So let's just ask the Lord one more time. Holy Spirit, we pray that You would come and bring healing in this place right now. We speak to every pain. We speak to every sickness, disease, tumors. Father, I'm even going to step out in faith and say, metal. Blind eyes to be opened, blurred vision, cataracts, deaf ears, partial deafness. Just ask God that You would heal, because that's who You are. You desire that Your people be well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you already raised your hand. Don't do it again. You say, Pastor, I think I feel different. I feel better. At least 80% improvement or more. And if you didn't raise your hand the first time, would you do it this time and say, yeah, I think so. Okay, just keep raising it so I can count it. Okay, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 more. So that's awesome. Now, what we want to do is, these are what we call sovereign healings. It's just God touching. We have nothing to do with it. It's just God touching, okay? If we had more time, we would go into laying on of hands. Okay, we would begin praying with laying on of hands. So what I may do is, I think Pastor Troy is here. Yeah, I thought you were going to Valley View, but you're here. Good. I have to go to the second service. But I think what we'll do is we'll dismiss whoever wants to go and or need to go or whatever, and then lay hands on those that either haven't gotten a complete like sense of healing or haven't received anything yet, and we'll just pray for you. So I pray to, I don't want anybody that's on the altar ministry team to take offense, but I prayed a prayer of impartation for the students yesterday. So I want them to come to the front today, just for today. So I'll pray for you guys as well. But this impartation, so if you're here, NCSSM students, would you come right now? And then Pastor Troy, would you come and ask those who need prayer to laying on of hands, that they would like that, that we want to pray for you. Because he's calling you. He's calling you, blind Bartimaeus. He's calling you. So some of you may be feeling a warmth in your body. Some of you may be feeling tears. You're crying. Or you sense the presence of God, the weight of God. You know, that might be the Lord moving on you. So you want to respond to that. That's his call, that he wants to minister to you. Okay? So I'm going to ask that you respond to that. And let God be God as much as he wants to be, right? Okay. And I think that's enough said. So if you want prayer, I want you to come right now. And I have to go to the second service. Pastor Troy will administrate this. But Liberty, I love everybody. Pray hard. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to share these incredible testimonies. I've got many more the next couple of weeks to share. Bring somebody with you and let them hear the testimony of the power of God and the miracle workings of the Lord. And one of these services, I'll actually show you some more incredible video that I got that it's hard to believe even if you see it. You'll see it and you'll go, I can't believe that. Because seeing is not enough. You almost have to experience it, right? So Pastor Troy is going to take it. And if you need prayer, if you want prayer, come on. God bless you all. Don't forget Christmas Eve. I think that's Wednesday, right? Wednesday night at 6, I'm going to preach on communion. I'm going to preach on the body and the blood of Jesus. It's going to be a healing service.
Okay? Amen. Everything he said. Now come if you want prayer.